Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. I'm a big-eared blogger. He's an NFL legend and someday Hall of Famer. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
I'm good, man. It's snowing out. Like
I know. I saw it on the way home. But before I left the house, I saw some flurries. And then as I started getting away, I didn't see them again. When I got closer to D.C., they came right back.
I was wondering, is Bria in town yet with the little one?
Nah, they don't get in until Sunday night or Monday, something like that.
Okay, I was thinking it'd be fun for him to see some snow, the little baby, because mm-hmm. they're not going to get much in Florida.
Nah, Florida or San Fran.
Right. Oh, yeah, I forgot Willie's coming too.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because my sister's coming home with her husband, and he's from Arizona. They now live in San Diego. Like, that's just perfect weather. You know what I mean?
Rude awakening for the brother right there.
Well, dude,
And tell him y'all expect him to be outside doing some damn work.
He keeps saying that he'd be happy to live here. And I'm like, he's the crazy biker I've told you about. He bikes like probably at least 100 miles a week and does multiple
rides. He would love the springs and summers and things like that. But when that thing drops below 30, he's going to have a problem.
That's what I told him. Is I was like, dude, you can't ride your bike realistically. I said just January, February, and half of March. Like, you're just not going to go out.
Well, actually, the people here ride. They ride. But, like, if you are a true rider, you have the right equipment, and you can ride. But once they start getting stuff on the ground, I'm not riding.
Nah, that's a no for me, dog. So I sent him a video. I want it to snow while they're here, but I don't know that, because at least Sunday they're going to the game. They're going to experience the cold, so that'll be fun.
Are they going to be inside, outside?
Well, I mean, you kind of hooked that up. So
they got the club level. They could go.
They got
inside.
The option.
But,
yeah, exactly.
But since he likes all this weather, you should have told me to get him outside. The whole time.
He keeps claiming he's excited about the weather. We'll see. My sister's like, he doesn't really have clothes for this. I was like, he could borrow my clothes.
Yeah, he can come hang out with me.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah, come hang out with me. He'll be real, real all right.
Obviously, Brian, big sports news yesterday. There was a ball game last night. Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, the Wizards got their 4th win.
No, I'm not talking about that one.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yo, I mean, obviously, the Wiz are in a rebuild, and we've talked about it repeatedly, but did you see the dunk Koulibaly had?
No. I did not think you were talking about the Wiz. I thought you were talking about them Thursday Night Football.
Well, I was kind of doing a bit, but I'm going to drop this dunk in the group text thread, except I can't access it on my damn computer. Lanville, I'm going to text it to you, and you could drop it in the text thread. Occasionally we get a glimpse of why we believe in the rebuild. This dunk Koulibaly had last night is why you believe in the rebuild.
All right.
It was just absurd.
Come on, Koulibaly. Give us some more dunks so we can have more to look for.
I do want to get to Thursday Night Football, but Brian, obviously yesterday there was big stadium news too.
Yeah.
Well, you saw, I mean, it was all over the news, the press release, everything. Mayor Bowser, Ted Leonsis, Adam Silver, I don't know how many times we're going to celebrate that we're redoing Capital One, but they're redoing Capital One.
They already said it. I mean, I don't, listen, I'm not excited about you telling me what I already know.
Right. But, I mean, there were some cool pictures. But obviously, that was the big stadium news everybody in town was talking about.
Nah. It's another one, too.
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, before we get to what's legitimately made me sad last night, and my wife asked why I was sad, and I had to explain to her, B, watch that dunk. Let's get a live reaction. B, Mitch watching Bilal Coulibaly's dunk last night. It's in the text thread now.
All right, let me go through the text.
Landfill, how annoying is this process where I have to text you and then you text the thread?
Not great.
Let's see it.
All right, B, let's watch this one, dude.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
You know what? It kind of looked, when he caught the ball up top, kind of look a little bit like Jordan.
I mean, you don't want to get crazy, but that was a hell of a dunk.
It was an alley, one-hand grab. He cocked that thing back and slammed it hard. That dude got some ups, man. But he has a lot of talent that many people, I don't think, truly understand. He can actually play. You know, I think everybody just thought, oh, he got drafted. He was talking about, that's just Wimby's buddy, right?
Right.
But that dude could play.
For sure.
He caught that, bro.
All right, let's have a real conversation.
You saw the other guy with his head behind his head, like, oh, crap.
Yeah, man. Dude, there's another view that I saw of Chris, of C-Mill and Drew watching it and trying to call that, and their reaction is awesome, too. It was – we're gonna get are little glimpses of reasons to believe in the Wiz, but those little glimpses are what we're here for, and that Coulibaly dunk is just an awesome, awesome little glimpse. Now I'm gonna say something for real here. If there are parents in the car with young children, turn the radio off. I'm gonna give you 10 seconds here.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn your radio off now. Because last night, B, I was watching Thursday Night Football. Uh-huh. With my lovely wife. We had Christmas concert. Came back. More Christmas stuff today. Christmas stuff never ends. We all love it so much. And I was just legit sad. And Lauren couldn't really figure out why. And then I explained to her what happened with RFK Stadium. And you know, I really, really, really don't want to be political in any capacity, right? Like, I hate politics so much. Not that pro sports isn't full of BS, but politics is just an industry built on complete and utter BS, where all anyone is trying to do is benefit themselves under the disguise of altruism and caring about anything outside of political points, grandstanding, and getting more cable news airtime.
That's all the hell it was.
And I understand this was a big bill that RFK got jammed into. And yo, the fact that they pulled it, there are complications far beyond RFK. I think RFK was nothing but shrapnel in this. I think RFK was kind of just an innocent bystander in this political maneuvering, right? Mm-hmm. But last night, I felt like I learned Santa Claus wasn't real. Mm-hmm. Because it was the first time I truly allowed myself to believe that this was going to happen. And I really, really believed it would happen. The smart people I talked to that know Capitol Hill, that know these processes, they said throughout, yo, it's going to get done, it's going to get done, it's going to get done. And I know there are smart people that know these processes that are still telling me it's going to get done. I just can't believe anymore. I want it to happen. But you have my support. I just can't believe.
Let me help you out. Basically what happened yesterday were people strong-armed the situation to try and make themselves look good. And what they're going to do with this whole Trump Stadium thing is make themselves look good. It's going to happen. You just got to be patient. You got to stop thinking life goes like it's supposed to, and stop thinking like just the things happen in place, and realize that we live in a BS world. We live in a world that people don't get anything done until their names are put in front of it. And that's the ultimate thing. But next time, I think, you know, it comes again. And, about, you know, when you start going to those polls, think about all that crap. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
It's a game. Life is a game, bro.
I agree about wanting to be patient. And Toby was on yesterday. You had stuff going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Toby was like, I don't care where it is. I just want a new stadium as fast as possible. I am not in that camp. I want RFK. I think you build out riverfront downtown. There is value in waiting for that. Right?
Yeah, and you know, that's what you need. You got to learn to ask for what you want, specifically what you want, not just I'll take anything.
Where that's that you and I talking, from? Right?
Yeah.
At some point, I think it becomes pretty realistic, and listen, the Harris Group has real cash, real influence, mm-hmm. real connections. Like, they have smart people, I'm sure, telling them, yo, just wait, we'll get this done. It's still all just maneuvering and wrangling. Okay, cool. But at some point, they're going to get tired of waiting.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not there yet, but, like, the reason Maryland, the reason Governor Moore is just happy to chill and say, hey, we're here, is because he knows he's a smart dude. Like, at some point, the Harris Group's going to be like, yo, we can't deal with these senators and congressmen and the president. Like, all of this is such a ball of nonsense.
You know what needs to happen?
We got to make our own move.
The citizens of the United States of America needs to stop sitting on their asses and get off their ass and make these politicians and senators understand that you work for us.
They just voted them all in.
Hey, but you know like what?
This still
you work for us, and we don't work for you. That's the whole thing. They don't give a damn about it. They care about how they make themselves look. Let's just be real. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on or if you're in the middle. Every one of them going to politics damn near poor, and they all come out filthy rich, which tell you what the hell is happening. People, stop being blindfolded and fooled by the BS that you hear, point blank.
B, well said. Completely agree. But that calendar of, like, making changes and let them know is not the same as, yo, we need a new stadium calendar. And I don't know, man. We did two podcasts this week, me and Mitch. And on Tuesday when we recorded, I said I felt 90% confident RFK was going to get done.
Uh-huh.
And then yesterday after our show, we recorded another one, and it was before it was officially dead. And he asked me how I felt it was going to get done, and I said 7%. Like, bleep them all.
You got to understand, it's just like this football team. Everybody was losing their mind over when they were winning, and then they went through a little skid. My mindset was the same the whole time. This is a rebuild. I'm happy about what's happening, but it's a rebuild. They got to learn how to get this thing done. I'm the same way with the stadium. I still think it'll get done. But, you know, I'm not going to keep – I don't believe in going through life on a roller coaster.
I like your thing is you only argue once, you only get stressed once, all that. And I agree with you, right? But I just think patience for the Harris Group, at some point, this is about cash. And
yep.
Maryland's got the cash ready, and they've got the site ready. And, oh, by the way, the sooner we get this done, the sooner you can compete for Super Bowls and Final Fours and all these events. Like, at some point – there's a tipping point where they're like, all right, let's just, what is it, bird in hand versus two in the bush?
Yep.
RFK remains 10 in the bush.
Let me tell you one thing about me, Jay.
It's just in the bush.
Like, I want RFK. But if it's built somewhere else, I'll start liking that too. When they built the FedEx Field back in 97, it was.
Hell, you played in the opener.
You think I really wanted the driveway over there? No, but I eventually began to like it. You know, my whole thing is, I don't care, you know, particularly that things just happen how I want it to happen. If it happens and everything gets better overall with the whole squad, I'm cool with it. And all those people that say, I'm not going to go if it go here, that they're lying. They're going to show
they're
up anyway.
Lying.
You know, just like all the people, I'm never going to buy no Commander's gear. Well, it's sure going off the damn shelves. And I don't know if we just dropped some new people in town, but it's coming off the damn shelves.
I agree with all that. I mean, I'm going to go regardless of where it is. I've gotten to the point where I tolerate Northwest Stadium. I think they've made a lot of improvements to Northwest Stadium. I think it'll actually be really dope when they get the Sunday night game next weekend and they can do the light show and all that stuff. I think fans will really appreciate that. The product on the field matters so much more. I'm a kid. I grew up going to RFK Stadium. I went to my first concert there. I went to my first NFL game there. I made out with a girl during HF Festival. Like, I remember these seminal events during my life at that stadium and recognizing the difference. And people can look at me like I'm wrong, but there is an absolute difference of being in the city taking the Metro, going, you could walk. Like, you, when I lived in Northeast, we would walk to Nats games, and you'd stop at different bars, and you'd walk home and buy beers and chug them on the street. Like, it's just different, and Landover's never going to have that. Mm-hmm. And no matter what they build around Landover, they can build it so that it's a nice experience. But, Brian, like, National Harbor is very nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Old Town Alexandria just feels differently. They're the same place. They're right across the river. One of them is manufactured and new and insincere, and one of them is authentic. And that is going to be the difference between whatever they can build in Landover that will be nice and people will enjoy it versus what RFK can be. Those are just different entities.
If that football team start winning, you're not going to think that deep.
I will, but that's a me thing. That's just how I'm wired. Like, I will think about that, but I recognize a lot of people won't. A lot of people will just be happy they can go get chicken fingers after the game and not have to go to their car. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just sad, and I don't want to talk about it. So instead, I'm going to read this Joan that Greg sent. That's very funny. Landfill, I think you'll appreciate this. This is from our boy Greg Height. He just texted to me and B-Mitch, telling JP to have patience is like telling me I'm a good speller.
And we know he can't spell. He might have spelled speller wrong, right?
No, what's remarkable is that's the first text he's ever sent where everything's spelled wrong. I mean, there's some irony for you.
Oh, man.
We do have to talk about this football game last night.
Yeah.
And one, the crazy kick. You and I know that rule, B. As soon as it was possible, I was screaming at the television to kick it. And not just because Dicker was my fantasy kicker, but because it's just such a cool, fluky thing. You said you practice it every step, right?
We practice it, we were in position for it all the time, especially when people were punting out of their end zone and you had to get a fair catch. You know what I mean? So the ultimate thing, he was like, if that thing is hanging up, fair catch it. We'll try a free kick, especially late in the half or late in the game. You don't want to do it like if you catch the ball on the 50 and it's the beginning of the quarter, because you could probably go score a damn touchdown. But if it's late in the half where you don't have a lot of time on the clock or late in the game, you try that. But see, this is the thing. Jim Harbaugh tried that with the kid, what's his name? Tried it in 2013. It wasn't Bucker. It was the dude last night. I'm trying to think.
Tucker.
Hawes or something like that.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh, you're saying.
Harbaugh tried it with the 49ers in 2013. It was a 71-yarder. They missed it, okay? Because you see a lot of people kick it through the uprights just trying to kick the ball. What was the guy's name? Here we go.
I'm pulling it up.
I got it right here. Phil Dawson. Phil Dawson tried it in 2013. Also, our dude Joey Sly tried it overseas in 2019 when the Panthers were playing. They missed it. The fact that someone made it makes everybody say, oh, that rule is so crazy. No. People have been trying it for years. But the dumb thing last night, I would say this. There are special teams coaches in this world who don't know all the damn rules. Obviously, whoever was kicking the ball, their coach didn't say, whatever you do, don't give them no more yards. Because they probably wouldn't have tried that last night if they didn't get that 15-yard penalty.
Oh, yeah. That rule exists. I've known about it. It was awesome to see it implemented. I can't hear the name Dawson without dropping this bar, causing more family feuds than Richard Dawson. Anyway, I also think that was a good game. That was two good teams. That felt like playoff football. It was exciting to watch.
I was impressed with Herbert last night.
Yo, he made – so, B, the only point I wanted to make about last night, Bo Nix can play. He can help your team win. That Denver team has the way they've been put together. I mean, Sean Payton can call the hell out of an offense. That O-line is really good. They run the ball well. Defensively, they fly to the ball. That Denver team is good. That's a tough out. In the playoffs, right? Uh-huh. But in Knicks, you've got a guy that when asked to make plays to win games, as of now, he can mature and evolve and get better. I'm not saying any of that. But as of now, he can't do it. He had the deep shot.
When you're three,
Mims was 6 yards clear on the deep go route down the sideline. Maybe it was a double move.
How about the route that he threw when he was 4 yards across the line of scrimmage?
Sure.
I'm like,
and with the game on the line, we killed Kirk.
What are you thinking, dude?
You know, Nix reminds me of a more athletic Kirk, honestly, that I think he'll kind of evolve that way. Mm-hmm. And Kirk won a lot of games, threw for a lot of touchdowns. But, like, with the game on the line late, he checked it down, dude. Versus Herbert, in that game last night, he takes his team to a win. The throw he made for the touchdown, the catch that kid made for the two-point conversion, like, those are just – you are gutting out wins for your ball club. That was really impressive last night.
Oh, yeah, it was.
What else is really impressive is, B, we get this college football playoff is starting, man. I cannot wait to watch it. It's snowing in South Bend. South Bend playing tonight. The Battle of Indiana, Notre Dame, Indiana. John Talty joins us next to get us ready for college football playoff.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
National college sports reporter for CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports. John, I think you're in Columbus, getting ready for the Horseshoe to host Tennessee. How you doing, man?
Good. Yeah, I'm here in Columbus. It's cold, not quite snowy cold the way that I guess they're getting in South Bend, but it's pretty cold. It's going to be, I think, below 30 degrees here at kickoff tomorrow, so it's going to be some good cold football weather here.
I can't wait for it.
I love it. Let's start with tonight's game. Indiana Notre Dame, man. It's weird. This is like an in-state rivalry that you almost kind of never hear of. Because Indiana's been so bad at football for so long. What do you like tonight? Kind of what are the keys for the Hoosiers to get to pull off the upset?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's in part, like you said, Indiana's been so irrelevant for so long that you just don't really think about these two teams as being rivals. I think it's an interesting matchup. You know, Notre Dame has been good for the majority of the season. Of course, they have that massive blip on their schedule, that Northern Illinois loss. But, you know, since then, I think have rallied well. I think Riley Leonard has improved over the course of the season, and they're in a pretty good place getting this game at home. Indiana, the flip side is, you know, all season long, the questions about, you know, all right, we see them putting up huge numbers. They're dominating teams the way that you want them to dominate lesser opponents, but they hadn't really played anybody. And then they finally, you know, play a real opponent. They lose. You know, they looked okay. I don't think they, you know, they didn't look maybe as good as you were hoping, but not as bad as some people maybe expected. So we still haven't really seen them compete against as tough of an opponent as Notre Dame consistently this season outside of Ohio State. So I like Notre Dame in this game. I think that the weather does, I think, favor them. I think it's going to limit some of what Indiana likes to do with Curtis Rourke. And I think that Notre Dame's defense is ultimately going to be the difference here. But, you know, the snow that we're seeing, and just the way these two teams play, I think it'll probably be, you know, an ugly game. But I do kind of favor Notre Dame in this spot.
We're talking about college students here. And Notre Dame has always been the big dogs over Indiana. Indiana has always been the little brothers. That emotion and that those feelings could come into this game and change it up too. Do you think it's any chance that Notre Dame overlook them?
Well, I think it's an interesting point, and I think, you know, maybe as we talk about some of these other games, you know, in the playoff, Ohio State's one that comes to mind for me, that like there is, you know, a unique level of pressure. This is the first year of these home playoff games, so. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have any data yet. We don't know if it's a good or bad thing. Obviously, you think it's a good thing, but there is pressure at playing at home, being the favorite in this situation, as you mentioned, going up against kind of the little brother that, mm-hmm. you know, if a team like Indiana, if they get up early, do you start seeing that, you know, Notre Dame get a little tight? You know, does what happens to that crowd? I think that's one of the things that I'm very interested in some of these, you know, bigger matchups. But, you know, I think there's been enough of a gap. They've had multiple weeks to prepare for this. I really strongly believe in Marcus Freeman. He's a guy that has gotten NFL interest already, recently signed a big extension to Notre Dame. But he's a guy who I think is, you know, really good. He's lost some games he shouldn't have, but I think he's in a good place right now with this team. And so I don't think they'll overlook them. But to your point, you know, when you have young kids involved, that certainly things can start going upside down pretty fast.
For sure. Talking with John Talty here, CBS Sports college football analyst. He's in Columbus for Tennessee, Ohio State. I mean, what a heavyweight matchup that is. And probably two teams that don't play all that often, I assume. That's the night game tomorrow night. Let's start there, and then we'll hit the other two. But Tennessee's D-line, dude, I know how good Ohio State's receivers are. I think Tennessee's D-line might control this game. I kind of like the Volunteers here.
I think it's the best game of the first round. And I have picked Tennessee in this game. I think certainly whether they win or not, I like Tennessee getting 7.5 here. I think that their defense can keep them in this game. I think that their defensive front is going to give Will Howard some problems. Ohio State's offensive line is injury depleted right now. I think that's a problem for them. We saw Ohio State really struggle to run the ball effectively against Michigan. I think it can be a problem again against Tennessee. They've got a top 10 run defense. This is, I think, a really fascinating game. And I think it's one of those where, kind of like I was saying earlier about Notre Dame, I think it's even more apparent with Ohio State that we're seeing this fan base already start to turn on Ryan Day. And it's at home. There's been all these stories already about, you know, Tennessee fans kind of invading Columbus, coming in. I haven't quite
You're
seen
there.
Them yet.
How real is that?
Yeah, I haven't really seen it yet, but I mean, I got in yesterday. We'll see. After I talk to you guys, I'm planning on kind of just, you know, roaming around Columbus to see how real it is. I mean, there's been talk of a decent amount of fans coming. We'll see on Saturday for sure. But I just think that there's an opportunity in that stadium for things start to go bad, for people to start booing Ryan Day, for the players who have been so win a championship or bust all season, where you could see them really start to play tight. I think it was a factor against Michigan, a Michigan team that was inferior in many ways that still found a way to win. And I think that's a real thing that Ryan Day is going to have to figure out. Is he able to handle the pressure of really having to win this game, or does he let Tennessee hang around? I think between Tennessee's defense and its run game with Dylan Sampson, like, Tennessee can win ugly games. And I think Ohio State's going to have to put the ball downfield with some of their weapons and try to knock out Tennessee early. Because I think if you let them hang around, you're just going to feel that stadium get tighter and tighter and tighter.
Well, the thing about him, he wins a lot of games. He loses to Michigan. If he happened to lose this game in Tennessee, how much pressure is on him at that point?
I think a tremendous amount. And we've already seen the athletic director say that he'll be back next year. I think you take him at his word. But This was a championship or bust season. They've been open about having a $20 million NIL roster that puts them in the top three or four in the country. They have a lot of different guys who are really, really good. They went out. They were very aggressive in adding talent, like Quinshon Judkins, who was an SEC Offensive Freshman of the Year. They added Caleb Downs, who is SEC Defensive Freshman of the Year from Alabama. Like, this was the team. This is the team that's supposed to win it all. And I think that when they play at their best, they still have that potential to, but they just seem to shirk in big moments where they do not play up to their potential. And, you have to win games like this. And so I think if Ryan Day were to lose, I don't know that it leads to anything massive happening this year, but certainly would enter in next year at minimum one of the hottest seats in the country. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that they really have to worry about, and this is, like, I think something that a lot of teams are going to have to think about moving forward, is that if your fan base starts to tune out and they stop donating to NIL and they stop paying the massive donations for their tickets every year, like, that's when it starts to get, well, this is a lot of money to get rid of them, but we might lose more money in the long term if we don't make a move, if we worry about our fans just starting to stop coming around and stop giving us their money.
That's crazy. Talking about John Talty here, CBS Sports. You can give him a follow at JTalty, T-A-L-T-Y. All right, we've gone in-depth on Notre Dame and Ohio State, Tennessee. The other two games have the biggest spreads. I think both expect the home teams to win. Penn State, SMU, let's start there. Happy Valley, noon start, whiteout game. That place will be electric, I assume. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like Ryan Day, James Franklin doesn't have the greatest reputation for big games. People like to call him Big Game James. And, we've seen him struggle against the Ohio States, the Michigans. You know, I think that you expect Penn State to win this game. They're at home. I've seen them a couple times this year. Tyler Warren is so dynamic. I love the different ways that they use him. They have a really strong run game. Defense has been solid. There have been some ups and downs, but defense overall I think is good. I think that they benefit some from what will again probably be an ugly, cold day. But SMU is dangerous. I do think that, what Kevin Jennings does, I'm a big believer in their coach, Rhett Lashley. I've been following him since he was, Auburn's offensive coordinator many years ago under Gus Malzahn. Like, I think he's a really good, smart, young coach. I think he'll have some good dynamic things dialed up for Penn State. So I could see it being a challenge early on, but you would think with the amount of talent that Penn State has and that it is in Happy Valley that, that I think that it's understandable why that spread is as big as it is. I think my initial reaction when the bracket came out was like, I love Penn State's path. Like, this feels like if you're a Penn State fan, this is a path that feels very winnable, that, all right, can James Franklin finally get us on a run? They've been very close. They're always that team that finishes like sixth in college football playoff rankings. They always just missed the cut. Now they're in. Now's the time to make a run. You're starting with a home game. You got to beat SMU. And I think he's another guy, not quite to the level of Ryan Day, but I think that were James Franklin to lose tomorrow against SMU, like, I think that you're going to see an upset fan base that kind of feels like they're almost stuck in purgatory to some extent, where guy's pretty good. He can win 9-10 every year, but like, is he really the guy to get us to where we want to be? You lose against SMU, I think that, that kind of meter starts moving more and more to, no, I don't think he's the guy.
Bro, I don't even think, I think Penn State wins tomorrow. And I think in some ways, like, the worst thing that ever happened to the Giants was Daniel Jones winning that playoff game in Minnesota, because then they paid him. I think if you seek your validation by making a 12-team playoff and beating SMU, I don't know. Like, for Penn State to be where all the Penn Staters think they are, like, you got to beat Georgia. Like, one of these teams.
Yeah, you got to go farther.
Frankly, to me, SMU shouldn't be there. That should be South Carolina. And then I think it'd be a hell of a win if you win it. But whatever. It's not up to me. I left this one for last because I think this is going to be an ass kicking. Texas Clemson, you got anything there?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is where we're going to see. I don't know if you guys noticed, like, Clemson has finally dabbled in the transfer portal. They've added a couple guys in the last week after Dabo refused to do it for a long time. I think we're going to see in this game the ramifications of not doing that. I think there's a huge talent gap between these two programs. We saw what happened to Clemson early on in the year against Georgia, and they got their butts kicked. I think that something similar happened. Now, Texas is a team that's they're a little confounding to watch because they're so good. And, Like you want them to be more. And you know, Quinn Ewers, whether it's making mistakes at the wrong time, like there've been. I mean, I've watched a lot of them this season, and there've been numerous games, even against Texas A&M being one of them. I saw them in SEC championship against Georgia. Like you feel like, all right, this team should be up, you know, 2-3 touchdowns, and like they're getting field goals, and like they let teams hang around. So I think when you watch that game, you're going to feel like Texas is so much better than Clemson. But if they can't figure out some of those offensive issues they've had, I think Clemson will hang around a little more than they should. But I have almost no doubt that Texas, I think, wins this game. I love where they're at defensively. I think they're going to overwhelm that Clemson offensive line. And I do. I think the offense will look better in this game after some recent issues. But again, they have a habit of just letting teams hang around because they can't punch it in the red zone. Mm.
So I'll hang around as long as you will let
Please
me.
Please stop singing.
It's David Allen Coe, dude. John, thank you, brother. Enjoy the game. What an awesome atmosphere that's going to be at the Horseshoe tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I think it's going to be fun. I'm glad that we're getting these games on campus. You know, seeing the snow in South Bend's awesome, and I'm sure it's going to be a rocking atmosphere in the Shoe tomorrow night.
All right. Absolutely, man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, John, appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you guys.
John Talty right there. JTALTY, National College Sports Reporter, CBS Sports 24/7. He writes books. He does it all, man. Check him out and be sure to watch these college football games. A smart politics guy is going to join us at 11 to walk me off the ledge. Probably won't work. Nobody go anywhere.
Waterfall.
Stopping me right now.
Feel so close to you, right?
All right, B. It's an outside chance, understandably. The Bengals close with the Browns, the Broncos, and then at the Steelers. That heads-up game against the Broncos, assuming Cincy beats Cleveland this weekend, you start there.
Yeah.
Denver already lost. Then they... Since he gets to play Denver next week, that could very much be for a playoff spot. Like they could flip this thing on its head.
Very possible.
I suppose the Colts and the Dolphins could do the same thing. I just have a lot less faith in those teams. What do you think?
The Colts and the Dolphins?
Yeah.
You should have less faith.
Colts, Dolphins, Bengals are all 6-8. But what a real advantage the Bengals have is they have a heads up game against the Broncos coming. The Colts just lost to the Broncos last week. What do you think the chances are since he pulls off this inside straight miracle playoff run?
It's very possible. I mean, their offense has been terrific. Defensively, though, will they allow those teams they're playing to put 30-40 up? They're like, I mean, well, what's their point differential?
Who?
The Bengals. How many are they giving up?
Bengals' point differential is plus 12.
So they're giving up as probably just as many points as they're scoring.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. So
the Bengals are fifth in points scored, 10th in yards gained.
That's a little 31st scary.
31st in points allowed, 29th in yards allowed.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Yeah, Denver is an infinitely more well-rounded team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think – but Denver's got a tough closing stretch. I think they have – some of it depends on if – Kansas City rests Mahomes. That doesn't seem very Kansas City-ish to rest Mahomes.
Nah, he got the little high ankle sprain, but you know what? They said it was mild. And we've seen him with some serious stuff go out there and just snatch people's dreams away from them.
Right. Denver's only got two left, and it's the Bengals and the Chiefs. Like, it's possible that Denver loses out.
Yeah, if the Chiefs were to win this weekend and win – if they may sit him in the last game, Pat, if they get there, you know, and let him heal up a little bit.
I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. I will say, watching Denver last night, getting to sit down and watch a full game of them, that's a good team. Like, they've got a lot there that they're building. You could tell they're well coached. I think everybody in the country would rather see Cincinnati sneak into the playoffs, though. and just to get another look.
Everybody in the country but the people that coach in the NFL.
Right.
AFC.
Here's
they're like, hell no.
Everybody in the country would like to see Cincinnati get in except Broncos fans and Bills fans.
I'll say this, though. If Cincy makes it to the playoffs, they have to score 45 or more a game to win.
Well, B, so the way it looks, and obviously this could change, but it seems pretty cemented because the Chiefs are two games clear. The Chiefs are the one seed right now, 13-1. We'll see how they close out. Obviously things could change, but they're two games clear of the Bills, who are in second. Right now, the Bills would play the Broncos. And I think, you know, the Broncos are a good team, but traveling to Buffalo, the way that Buffalo team could score, I think the Broncos really wouldn't have much of a chance of pulling that upset off.
Mm-hmm.
But if Cincy was heading to Buffalo, Burrow and Chase have gone into Arrowhead and won. They're the only dudes that can say that. They ain't scared of going to Buffalo.
No.
Now, they might have to score 60 to win it, but they're not scared of
that,
it.
That is my issue with the Bengals.
Yeah.
They've done some magnificent things throughout this year, but if they get in the playoff, they're playing the better teams who have damn good defenses that can hinder them. Their defense can't hinder no damn body.
For sure. It's going to be fun to watch, man. That was a good game last night, and you can really feel the playoffs in the air. Hell, we got college football playoffs tonight. It's kind of snow flurrying in D.C. It's snowing in South Bend. I don't know. What are we, 5 days till Christmas? It's the most wonderful time of the year, baby. Joe Maloney next.